This type of exercise did this even better than interval training, and weight training didn't have this effect at all, according to one study. Running, jogging, walking, aerobics classes, or any other form of sustained endurance increases BDNF, which is essentially stem cell therapy for your brain. Double or even triple the amount of new neurons have been shown to sprout this way. Improvements in this part of the brain are linked to less brain-draining anxiety. Of course, this is good news for people who are stressed, have experienced trauma, or have eaten too much sugar throughout their lives, since you now know how these shrink the hippocampus and thus leave you more vulnerable to stress. Instead of cracking open another bottle of beer or popping another Xanax, try a jog around the neighborhood, do 44 minutes on the elliptical trainer, take a long bike ride, or sign up for a Zumba class to help undo the damage that stress, unhealthy food, or trauma has had on the brain. As a preventative measure, this larger hippocampus will also make you more resilient and less likely to become drained in the future. Even better news, you won't have to wait months or years to start to feel an improvement. In fact, a simple walk or jog helps you to see the world in a more positive light in just 10 minutes. In one experiment, subjects were shown the dotted outline of a human. People with anxiety are more likely to perceive a neutral image as facing them, since it's an indicator of threat. But after just 10 minutes of walking or jogging on a treadmill, subjects were more likely to judge the figure as facing away from them. This form of exercise is also quite soothing for many people and great for days you're feeling depleted. Sustained aerobic exercise isn't as likely to initially spike adrenaline, norepinephrine, and cortisol levels like interval training or weightlifting can, so it's a great type of exercise to choose when you're seeking immediate stress relief. A quiet afternoon jog or bike ride in nature can help you to shut off the worrying mind. So put on those running shoes or take that bike out of the garage this weekend. It will almost instantly shift your outlook and the way you see the world, and in the long term, your brain grows as your waistline shrinks. Interval training. Benefits. Less time consuming. More rapid improvements in physical health, for example, reduction in body fat, which can lead to substantial and lasting decline in cortisol levels. Best at reducing high blood pressure, a life-threatening condition people with anxiety are much more likely to develop. Interval training is essentially working out for a short amount of time with bursts of extraordinarily intense exercise spliced between lower energy movement. It's like seemingly impossible sets of box jumps or 11 mile per hour sprints done for a minute or two at a time. Group fitness classes around the world are using interval training to help people get into great shape in a short amount of time. I love them because they give you the push that's essential to power through the intense bursts of effort. I recently gave up my traditional gym membership and bought a membership at an interval training studio called Training Mate. You get through those short moments of, I can't do this, and leave with a feeling of, I can, because I just did. Strength training is often incorporated into interval training classes. For example, you may spend half the class on a treadmill or rowing machine and half doing weight-based resistance training. This is great because while 52% of adult Americans meet the aerobic activity guidelines, only 29% meet the muscle strengthening minimum, and like other forms of exercise, weightlifting decreases symptoms of brain-draining anxiety and insomnia. As we age, maintaining strength is vital since muscles tend to shrink as hormone levels decline. Interval training has quite a few unique benefits that are particularly helpful in helping brain-drained individuals. You already know it's the second best way to increase the size of the hippocampus after sustained aerobic exercise. The lead researcher who proved this link between aerobic exercise and neurogenesis in the hippocampus didn't discount other types of exercise. In fact, he hypothesized interval training or weightlifting probably leads to the creation of new connections between brain cells or different parts of the brain that we just haven't yet been able to prove through research. What we now know is interval training is number one when it comes to preventing and reversing hypertension or high blood pressure. This is relevant for drained individuals because anxious people are 4 times more likely to develop this condition. Hypertension is also something you want to address quickly, but safely as possible, because high blood pressure is the leading cause of death worldwide. While sustained aerobic exercise is also effective in addressing hypertension, research shows interval training is likely even more effective. Addressing high blood pressure through exercise has helped many of the patients I have treated who are particularly sensitive to the physical symptoms of anxiety. It helps you tolerate physical sensations while training your autonomic nervous system to follow the healthy pattern of a wave. What goes up can gently and easily come down. Done gradually, it can also be helpful for people who experience panic attacks. Interval training activates the sympathetic nervous system, and stress hormones are released. But remember, this short-term spike is the trade-off for long-term reductions in stress hormones. After a set of sprints, shortness of breath and a fast-beating heart doesn't mean you're having a heart attack. They're a normal response to exercise. For some people, interval training can be an alternative to benzodiazepines or beta blockers, a class of medications sometimes prescribed to treat people who have more somatic, physical manifestations of anxiety. Unlike beta blockers, which can interfere with restful sleep, exercise promotes it. And it's a good alternative to choose because beta blockers have recently been linked to an increased risk of being hospitalized for a mood disorder, and benzodiazepines have led to an increasing number of ER visits and overdoses. On the other hand, exercise prevents mood disorders and keeps you out of the ER. Avoid intense interval training on days when you're feeling incredibly worked up or angry. On those days, take a yoga class or only hop on the treadmill after using one or more of the relaxation techniques I'll teach you. Here's why. Being very upset and then engaging in intense exercise can triple the risk of a heart attack within the hour. But don't avoid interval training altogether, because in the long run, it's one of the best things you can do to prevent heart attacks. Interval training may also be effective in helping people to get fit more quickly, and this is vital. Remember, fit people tend to release less cortisol throughout the day and have more good gut bacteria that helps balance the brain. Compared with sustained aerobic exercise, interval training can burn fat more quickly. One study showed that in just 7 sessions of interval training, whole body fat oxidation increased 36%. With just 3 short 20-minute workouts a week, subjects burned subcutaneous fat more quickly than those doing sustained aerobic exercise. Thus, this is a good type of exercise to use when you're short on time. It's also more effective at targeting the belly fat that we know is lethal. Research has used different lengths of time for the up and recover lengths. You can try a version of these interval times used in research studies, whether you're jogging, using weights, or on an elliptical, bike, rowing machine, or treadmill. Try a version of one of these. 4 minutes of high intensity, 2 minutes of low intensity, repeat, or 2 minutes of high intensity, 3 minutes of low intensity, repeat, or 15 seconds of high intensity, 15 seconds of low intensity, repeat, or 8 seconds of high intensity, 12 seconds of low intensity, repeat. Looking at these numbers, you'll see some research has used long sets of high intensity with shorter low intensity sets, shorter sets of high intensity with longer sets of low intensity, and high and low intensity sets of equal time. You'll also see very long sets, for example, up to 4 minutes of high intensity, and very short ones, for example, as low as just 8 seconds of high intensity. The takeaway here is that there is no exact formula for the intervals. You just need a general up-down formula throughout the workout. The length of the set will likely be determined by how difficult the activity is for you, since the point is to push you to your near maximum potential during a high intensity set. Again, check with your primary care physician or cardiologist to make sure there aren't any limitations before starting this or any other exercise routine. No matter your fitness level, you can create your own interval training routine. This can mean intermittent periods of a brisk walk alternating with a slower walk. For others, this can mean short sprints on a treadmill alternating with recovery jogs. Or you can take advantage of the interval training programs on elliptical trainers or create your own with rowing machines. Weights can be used for interval training with short bursts of maximum effort with periods of lighter intensity or cardio in between. Interval training is a great choice on days when you feel like you're filled with energy. These workouts require brief physical bursts from your body. You may also find it easier to sleep after a grueling workout as your body will feel totally exhausted. While most interval training studies involve an up and down format for about an hour, 2016 research showed a type of interval training that may be particularly useful for busy and stressed out individuals with even less time to spare. It's called sprint interval training. Lack of time is one of the most common reasons for not exercising regularly, so now you truly have no excuse. Sprint interval training sessions are only 10 minutes long. Subjects who did sprint interval training 3 times a week for 12 weeks showed similar improvements in cardiovascular and metabolic health as the subjects who did traditional interval training. The amount of time saved was significant. The sprint interval training group's workouts were 10 minutes, whereas the traditional interval training group's workouts were 50 minutes. Here's the sprint interval training format. Start with 2 minutes of warm-up with light activity, then 20 seconds of an all-out sprint, followed by 2 minutes of light activity, then 20 seconds of an all-out sprint again, then 2 minutes of light activity, then the final 20 seconds of an all-out sprint, and then the final 3 minutes of cool down with light activity. As you can see, there's only 1 total minute of intense work, 3 20-second bursts within the short 10-minute workout. The researcher from this study also proves how tiny bursts throughout your day, like taking the stairs after lunch, can have a real effect on your overall health. The takeaway: Any type of interval training can be healing for both mind and body. Again, you can use a version of this with different types of workouts. If there's a choice between no workout today and this 10-minute workout, choose this one. I use it when I'm traveling and find it a great mini workout in a tiny hotel gym. It can be a part of your workout arsenal that can help you improve your fitness level, which can lead to lower levels of brain-draining hormones and higher levels of brain-balancing neurotransmitters. But remember, cross-training mind and body with a varied routine will give you the most stress and insomnia-relieving benefits. Meditative movement. Benefits. Immediate reduction in brain drainers like adrenaline and cortisol. Immediate boost in brain balancers like GABA and serotonin. Immediate and safe reduction in blood pressure for all people of all levels of physical fitness. Thickens the layer of the cerebral cortex in the brain, which helps us remain open to doing things in new ways, a key component in resilience and stress reduction. Some forms improve balance, which can reduce fears of falling. Physical improvements like weight loss combined with psychological improvements like stress reduction can improve quality of life for people living with mind-body conditions. I fell in love with yoga during my first class. I would drive 10 miles to take my favorite yoga teacher's class in Santa Monica. For those of you who don't live in Los Angeles, 10 miles means allowing for an hour or more with traffic each way. While challenging your body, stretching muscles, and improving balance, you simultaneously strengthen your mind. Putting your mind's focus on your breath and body is a mindfulness-based practice. The whole process can take on a meditative quality. The improvements in both mind and body become evident with just a few months of occasional practice, and the benefits seem to be particularly potent for those people who are chronically stressed. A study examined yoga's effects in a group of chronically stressed women. Half of them received no treatment, and the other half of the women received yoga classes. The classes were just 60 minutes, and they did them twice a week for a month. The improvements in the body included increased flexibility and a decrease in waist circumference. The improvements of mind included decreased levels of stress and more positive mood states. Yoga also provides stress relief that is more immediate and reliable than other forms of exercise. One study measured subjects' mood after 3 sessions of either yoga, body conditioning, swimming, or fencing. Only subjects taking the yoga class reported less anxiety, tension, depression, anger, and fatigue at the end of each class they took. Different forms of yoga have been shown to be effective in reducing symptoms of OCD, phobias, and test-taking anxiety. Yoga may be even more effective than drugs in reducing anxiety. One study divided patients diagnosed with anxiety into 2 groups. One took the benzodiazepine Valium, while the other group did 40 minutes of yoga a day for 3 months. Yoga led to a greater reduction in anxiety when compared with a hard-hitting and addictive drug. The overall improvement was 76.7% for the yoga group compared with 50% for the Valium group. Furthermore, a small subset of the yoga students were effectively cured and became symptom-free after 3 months of practice. None of the subjects taking Valium became symptom-free. Another study compared 6 weeks of yoga to the benzodiazepine Librium and amitriptyline, an older antidepressant that is so sedating that it's sometimes used today to treat insomnia. Yet again, yoga led to a greater reduction in anxiety even compared with these 2 heavy-hitting drugs. Yoga also has been shown to increase GABA levels. One study found a boost in GABA levels after just one 60-minute yoga session. While yoga falls under the meditative movement category, some forms of yoga incorporate cardiovascular or interval training elements. While traditional hatha yoga classes or energy-shifting kundalini classes don't typically burn a lot of calories, I've been to some power yoga classes that were so intense I sweat more than I do in boot camps. Others have incorporated bursts of effort that were so intense we would take a rest in child's pose between sets. I like power yoga because it's two birds with one workout. Your mind is meditative and learns to be calm while your cardiovascular system is challenged and revs your metabolism. Other clinically proven meditative movements for drained brains include Qigong and Tai Chi. One study looked at the effects of Qigong on people with high blood pressure, a condition common in people with untreated brain drain. After 10 weeks of Qigong, blood pressure decreased significantly. The bonus? All three of the major brain drainers, adrenaline, norepinephrine, and cortisol, went down. Another study had subjects attend two Tai Chi classes a week for 3 months. Then they were given a mock job interview. The subjects who did Tai Chi reported 41% less stress. One study compared Tai Chi to meditation, walking, and reading in its ability to help people recover from stress after a series of difficult tests and challenges. All four activities led to reductions in cortisol and improvements in mood, but Tai Chi led to greater reductions in adrenaline and blood pressure. For people experiencing physical manifestations of brain drain, Tai Chi could be a great match. As we age, balance becomes more important in preventing falls. Like yoga, Tai Chi addresses balance, which is why research has shown that it decreases the fear of falling in older people. The joy of movement. As you can see, exercise and movement in general are good for the body and mind. Science has shown time and time again that the body was built to move. It's at its peak when you get up and get going, not only because it releases feel-good chemicals, but also because it keeps your thoughts in the present moment, distracting you from many of the pitfall thought patterns we discussed in Chapter 3. The same is true for energy-based cognitive therapy. Chapter 11. Shift your thoughts with energy-based cognitive therapy. Melanie experienced high levels of anxiety in her romantic relationships. Despite being successful and beautiful, Melanie sometimes felt incredibly insecure. Anytime a boyfriend didn't text her back immediately, she would imagine the worst-case scenario. She had no reason to suspect that her current boyfriend was cheating, but two of her ex-boyfriends had. Melanie's father left her mom for a younger woman when Melanie was a little girl, which spawned a deep-rooted belief that men can't be trusted. Melanie's love life affected every area of her life. When her relationship was going well, she was a rock star at work. When it wasn't, she called in sick, missed deadlines, and forgot about meetings. A disagreement with her boyfriend would consume her, leaving her unable to do anything but worry about the problems in her love life. During these rough patches, her usually healthy confidence would take a nosedive. What was incredibly confusing and frustrating for Melanie was that, logically, she knew she was being irrational. Despite that, she couldn't stop the emotional tsunami once it began. "I can actually hear myself acting crazy," she said to me with tears in her eyes. "And yet, it's like I don't know how to stop the crazy train once it's left the station." "I can see how much you want to change this, but I have a feeling the surge of stress hormones makes it hard for you to act rationally." "I also see how scary this is for you," I said. "It is," Melanie said, "and confusing and hopeless? How am I so together in other areas of my life, but such a mess in my love life? In our next few sessions, I helped Melanie gain insight that helped her link the unconscious root of her trust issues and relationship difficulties. We discovered forgotten memories of her childhood when her father left, and this helped her feel less confused about why she reacted so strongly today. Connecting the dots often helps people understand and thus respond in a less reactive way. It helped Melanie to remain calmer, but she still needed some tools to deal with her, quote, crazy train. The first step was to help Melanie identify the pitfall thought patterns that were problematic in her relationships. For Melanie, the three most frequent pitfall thought patterns were pessimistic thinking, pervasiveness, and personalization. Melanie was pessimistic when she considered the worst-case scenario after her boyfriend didn't text back after 45 minutes. For example, maybe he's cheating on me and going to leave. Pervasiveness affected her when she allowed her love life to negatively affect different areas of her life. For example, I'm not going into work today because of the fight we had last night. Personalization reared its ugly head when she pinned something not going right in her relationship on not being good enough. For example, he hasn't proposed yet. It's because I'm not pretty or interesting enough. Because Melanie got flooded with stress hormones as a result of fear, the effects could be seen in her body as well as her mind. So we turned to an exciting practice called energy-based cognitive therapy. Controlling mind and body. In traditional cognitive behavioral therapy, or CBT, I help patients to identify and change the 7 pitfall thought patterns that we talked about in Chapter 3. Here they are again. Number 1, paralysis analysis. This type of thinking involves stewing and ruminating in anxious thoughts, preventing productive action from occurring. Number 2, permanence. This type of thinking falsely assumes that just because something is a problem now, it will always be a problem. Number 3, personalization. This type of thinking places the blame entirely on yourself for something not going your way. Number 4, pervasiveness. This type of thinking allows something that is affecting one area of your life to spread to all areas of your life. Number 5, pessimistic. This type of thinking considers the worst-case catastrophic scenario. It dwells in the possible, not the probable. Number 6, polarized. This type of thinking has a binary black or white pattern. The words always or never are frequently found in this type of thought pattern. Number 7, psychic. This type of thinking expects people around us to read our minds without us verbalizing what we need. To stop these stress hormones inducing thoughts in the tracks, energy-based cognitive therapy, or EBCT, incorporates poses and postures from yoga and meditative movement. These physical movements change the flow of energy in the brain and body, and they can help people who get stuck in these negative feedback loops of stress and worry to disengage from them. A recent study had people hold a chopstick in their mouths while putting them through stressful tasks. Those who held the chopstick in a way that forced the facial muscles into a smile recovered more quickly. Bodily-based movements are helpful for drained-brained individuals because their bodies tend to be as tense as their minds. In these people, the sympathetic nervous system has become overly dominant. Heart rate is elevated, palm sweats, and thoughts race. A good stretch with calmer breath helps to disengage this fight, flight, or freeze response in the body, and the simultaneous cognitive reframes loosen the grip of pitfall thought patterns in the mind. This helps tilt your autonomic nervous system from a sympathetic dominant state to a parasympathetic dominant one. As a result, you move from fight, flight, or freeze to a calmer rest and digest state that's associated with more rational decision making and feeling like your best self. Stress hormones go down, feel good ones go up. You begin to glide through the challenges of your life with ease. To bring EBCT into your life, it's a matter of following 6 simple steps. Step 1, identify your pitfall thought patterns. Step 2, use a physical pose as an antidote. Step 3, find the contrary evidence. Step 4, see the right action you'd like to take. Step 5, revisit your brain-draining worries. Step 6, turn right action into your reality. Let's look a bit more closely at what is involved in each step. Step 1, identify your pitfall thought patterns. Which of the 7 pitfall thought patterns leaves you feeling brain-drained? For many, there are a few pitfall thought patterns that tend to show up more than others. People who tend to be logical, left-brain thinkers tend to get trapped in polarized thinking because their brains already use a black or white framework in the way they perceive the world. When they feel stressed out, they can become increasingly rigid, which can become problematic. Those who have recently gone through difficult times and feel hopeless may find more pessimism showing up. People with a family history of anxiety may have lower than average levels of serotonin and GABA, making paralysis analysis and its ruminative patterns likely. In the brain, neurons that fire together wire together. This means these thought patterns and their outcomes begin to feel normal and even automatic if you've been using them for a long time. They become your everyday reality. Identify which 3 of the 7 pitfall thought patterns prevent you from dealing with stress in a healthier way. Then write down the way your pitfall thought patterns sound in your head as your personal brain-draining worries. Figuring out which patterns and beliefs normally affect you will help you spot them when they take over. Also rate how true each worry feels to you right now. If it feels like a worry is absolutely true with no chance that your worry could be wrong and will stay this way, write 100%. If you feel like this worry feels true but some rational part of you knows it likely isn't, perhaps you'll write 50%. If this worry haunts you on bad days but doesn't feel all that true on most days, perhaps you'll write 25%. For example, when you use the pitfall thought pattern permanence, it feels like something you are going through right now is here to stay. If you have absolutely no hope that things could ever get better, you would write 100%. If you have a tiny glimmer of hope that things could get better, perhaps you'll write 95%. If you're mostly hopeful that things will change, but still struggle from time to time, perhaps you write 25% next to the worry. Here's an example of what this might look like. The 3 pitfall thought patterns that affect me most are pessimistic, permanence, and personalization. They lead to brain-draining worries that sound something like brain-draining worry 1, I'm not okay. Something is very wrong with me. I know it. How true? 80%. Brain-draining worry 2, this stress is never going to let up. I'm never going to feel better. How true? 99%. Brain-draining worry 3, I'm not good enough. People leave me because something is wrong with me. How true? 50%. Now write down which 3 pitfall thought patterns affect you most. The 3 pitfall thought patterns that affect me most are, they lead to brain-draining worries that sound something like, brain-draining worry 1, how true, blank percent, brain-draining worry too? How true? Blank percent. Brain-draining worry three. How true? Blank percent. Now that you've identified what you're likely to worry about, it will be much easier to start noticing in the moment when these thought patterns pop up. When they do, strike a pose. Step 2. Use a physical pose as an antidote. In traditional CBT, you learn techniques like picturing a stop sign when you notice pitfall thought patterns. Brain-drained individuals will benefit from physical poses because they help to interrupt the feedback loop of worry. As you know, stress and insomnia cause tension in the body as well as the mind. These EBCT poses ease tension while simultaneously boosting feel-good hormones that brain-drained individuals lack. Each pitfall thought pattern has an antidote based in a physical move or pose. This is where the energy in energy-based cognitive therapy comes into play. If you consciously use a pose that physically embodies confidence, your brain will release feel-good hormones that will make it easier to feel confident and let pitfall thought patterns go. While I have suggested specific poses for each of the 7 pitfall thought patterns, feel free to mix and match if one or more poses resonates in your mind and body. My favorite is the half-smile antidote for a physical pose you can use any time to disrupt the pitfall thought patterns. Each of these poses embodies positive energy states and relaxation, so feel free to learn and use them all. Advanced yoga practitioners can experiment with other poses they'd like to use as physical antidotes. I've also suggested more discreet versions of all the poses to use in public places. After you've used the full pose at home, another option is to simply close your eyes and imagine your body is in the pose. This will allow you to take action even when you're sitting in the middle seat on a crowded plane. Take the first brain-draining worry you wrote down in the last section and use the physical pose that corresponds with it. Number 1. Paralysis analysis. Antidote, tree pose. When your mind enters that ruminative, obsessive, and worrying state I call paralysis analysis, your brain has become stuck in a loop. Neurochemically, paralysis analysis is like a needle that keeps replaying that one groove on a broken record. Unlike the productive outcome associated with critically thinking about a problem or engaging your imagination to seek new ideas, paralysis analysis doesn't produce constructive or helpful solutions. Ask yourself if your line of thinking is going to change anything. If not, then you're not critically thinking and finding solutions. You're stuck in paralysis analysis. Grounding yourself to the earth taps into the faith the worrying mind has forgotten about. Paralysis analysis is rooted in a belief that you're not going to be okay. Begin by standing with your feet shoulders width apart and your toes facing forward. Your arms are relaxed at your sides with the palms facing forward. Now place the sole of one foot on the opposite leg above or below the knee, not directly on the knee because this can hurt you. If this is difficult, you can place the foot on the opposite ankle while keeping the toes on the ground for support. Once you're grounded, feel the earth supporting you. Know that the universe has a way of supporting you just as gravity keeps you rooted to the earth without you having to consciously do anything. This helps turn off the ruminative worry that is rooted in the belief that you're not going to be okay. In this moment, acknowledge that you already have everything you need. If you're breathing, there's infinitely more right with you than wrong with you. Feel that energy, because you're already embodying it. Now, connect yourself to God, Spirit, or your highest self. Place your hands in prayer position in front of your heart, or take your arms up and feel the energy of God, Spirit, or your highest self move through your mind and body to infuse you with a sense of faith in the world. Remain as still as you can, because stillness is the opposite of the ruminative, churning mind. When you need a discrete version of tree pose, simply place the sole of the foot on the other foot while you're sitting in a meeting. Feel your connection to the earth like a tree rooted in soil. You can add a simple and discrete posture with your hands to this pose. Touch your thumbs to your middle fingers and face your palms down to ground you in faithfulness and the feeling of being supported. Then flip your palms toward the sky to connect you to God or Spirit. Be an open conduit for divine energy while also giving thanks for what you already have. Number 2, permanence. Antidote, eye cupping. When permanence rears its ugly head, it's difficult to consider the light at the end of the tunnel. It's as if you've become blind to the future. To remedy this, begin by warming your hands by rubbing them together. Physically, this heat generates relaxation in the muscles. As you rub them more and more quickly, attune to the sensation of heat that reminds you of the ever-changing nature of our universe. Also let it remind you that you have the power to change your present state. You can change the temperature of your hands in the same way that you can change how your mind is operating in the present moment. And you have the power to create a future that is different from your current state. Once you perceive warmth, place your hands over your eyes. Cup your hands so that it's like placing an oval-shaped bowl over each eye. Allow the warmth to relax the muscles around your eyes and the tense facial strain associated with the bleak and weary state of permanence. With your eyes closed, imagine this pose is magically creating a crystal ball where you can gaze into the hope of your best future. See your best case scenario future. This will turn off the permanence associated with stagnation and hopelessness. This pose can be done easily at your desk and can help heal the physical strain associated with staring at a computer, as well as the mental weariness of permanence. If you'd like, you can use a discrete version of this pose by simply closing your eyes for a few moments. Number 3. Personalization. Antidote, star pose. When a runner crosses the finish line at the Olympics, you'll often see the athlete embody a spontaneous star pose in the middle of the field. The arms go up and the head turns upward towards the sky. While standing with your feet in a wide stance, raise your arms up into the air. Your arms and legs form an X shape. Keep your toes and palms facing forward. Turn your head towards the sky. Pay attention to the confidence and the feel-good hormones that naturally surge through your body when you embody this pose. When you're at work, you can use a discrete version of star pose sitting at your desk. Yawn and stretch your arms towards the sky. Allow this pose to help you remember all the ways in which you are innately worthy. Number 4. Pervasiveness. Antidote, pigeon pose or shoulder shrugs. When pervasiveness takes over, it's difficult to prevent stress from bleeding into other areas of your life. When life hands us the most difficult circumstances, we often need to do the exact opposite of what our default inclination urges us to do. When we're sad, we tend to isolate ourselves or self-medicate. Seeing friends or going to the gym may be the last thing we want to do when we're not feeling our best. And yet, these activities are more likely to help you feel better than eating a gallon of ice cream alone on the couch while binge-watching TV. Letting go of stress we feel in the present moment can help us to move on to the next moment of our lives with a fresh and open mind. We are more able to receive everyday miracles that result from a conversation with a friend or colleague. We tend to hold tension in our hips as we move and go through days marked with stress. Let go of this tension with pigeon pose. On a mat or soft carpet, place one leg folded in toward you with the other leg straight behind you. The more flexible you are, the more you can increase the angle of the bend in the front leg. Relax here for a few moments before moving on to the opposite side. As the tension you've been holding in your hips dissolves, notice how mental stress dissolves with it. See them melting into the earth. Letting go of this stress can help you find the equanimity you need to move forward in life with grace. If you need a discreet version of this in the middle of work, do some shoulder shrugs. Pull your shoulders up towards your ears and then allow them to fall down. Inhale as you bring the shoulders up and exhale as they come down. Repeat. As they fall, imagine they are taking any physical or mental tension you may be carrying with you. Number 5. Pessimistic, the half smile. When pessimistic thinking drags you down, you focus on the worst possible outcome. You consider the possible instead of the probable, and chances are the worry is evident in your face and brow. Remedy this by putting a half smile on your face. With your lips turned up, a slight smile in the eyes, and a brow that's relaxed, your brain can more easily consider the what's right in your life instead of the what's wrong or what could go wrong. The half smile is an easy-to-use antidote at any time. It's discreet. You can use it at work or on a plane. The half smile can be added to other poses and to help remedy other pitfall thought patterns. See what changes when you adopt a half smile for a full day. Notice if you feel differently when you put a half smile on your face while walking into a stressful meeting. Notice how it helps you to see the bright side more easily. Number 6. Polarized. Antidote: spinal twist. Polarized thinking is marked by a lack of flexibility. It's rigid and binary, and it fails to consider the 2,000 different shades of gray that lie between pure black or pure white. Remedy this with a spinal twist that can help you remain open to possibilities. If you're flexible and at home, do the full spinal twist. Grab each shoulder with the thumb in back and the fingers in front, or claw each shoulder with your fingers. Now twist to the left on the inhale as you twist to the right on the exhale. Try to make the exhale slightly longer than the inhale and breathe into the belly. Do this 26 times. As you go from side to side, see the entire expanse of what's around you. Notice what's in the middle. With an open heart and mind, consciously consider all options you have in front of you to choose from. This will help you find compromise within yourself and with others. There are a few discrete options if you need to use a spinal twist when you're at a desk or sitting at a dinner table. Simply do a few head rolls in both directions, or use your chair and hands to help you gently twist your spine in both directions. Number 7, psychic, antidote, chest thump. You probably remember Tarzan's signature chest thumping and signature yell. Gorillas thump themselves to boost their own confidence while reminding others of their strength. There is an inherent power in this action. It reminds us of our courage, and it can help us reclaim our voice. With closed fists, thump on your chest above the breastbone. You can use both hands or just one. As you lightly beat, open your mouth and let out a soothing, breath. Or try letting out a laugh or even a roar. Let this physical action help remind you of your inherent power. What you have to say matters. Tarzan let the whole jungle know he was on his way. You don't have to yell like a savage, but it is vital to verbalize your point of view in a calm yet confident way. Let the out-breath facilitate the movement of thoughts in your head into the world. You offer a valuable point of view to the world just as others have their own unique take. May the meeting of these differing thoughts help us learn and grow in our relationships with others. For a discrete version of this, use a version of a lion's breath. Take a deep breath in and sigh it out with your tongue sticking out towards your chin. As you sigh, imagine that the valid thoughts, feelings, and opinions you keep to yourself are beginning to make their way out to the world, where you will be more likely to communicate them to others. Step 3. Find the contrary evidence. While in these physical poses, consciously think of contrary evidence from knowledge and experience you already have in your life that proves your fears and anxieties to be irrational, alarmist, or flat out wrong. This strategy is a cornerstone of modern cognitive behavioral therapy, but it is also an ancient energetic practice. Yogis may know the technique by the name Praktipaksha Bhavana, as described in Yoga Sutra 1133, creating a counteracting positive thought to neutralize unwholesome ones. The physical poses of EBCT actually allow the brain to more easily access contrary evidence because of the psychological phenomenon called mood-congruent recall. When you have a half smile on your face or enter star pose with your body, positive information lights up in the brain, which means you can access a happy memory more easily and quickly. Here's an example of using contrary evidence as an antidote to a pitfall thought pattern. Brain-draining worry, personalization. After going through my divorce, I've decided something is wrong with me. I'm unlovable. I'm clearly not capable of staying in a relationship. I'm so weak. How true? 100%. Contrary evidence. While in star pose to physically help you access affirmative thoughts. There are so many reasons why my husband and I got divorced. While there are things I need to work on, there are also things he could have done better. Both of us were at fault. Also, maybe we just weren't the right fit for each other. I have been in 2 long-term relationships. They fell in love with me, so I must be lovable. I am kind, I am beautiful, I'm a great mom. Maybe I'll take the lessons I've learned in my marriage into my next great relationship. Step 4. See the right action you'd like to take. While continuing the pose, the next step is to see the action you'd like to take next. Since your body is in a pose that embodies calm confidence, and your mind has already proven your fear wrong, it will be easier to see clearly. Picture the action you'd like to take in your life in your mind's eye. Here's an example. Right action. My best friend has been trying to set me up with his colleague. I'll say yes. I'm going to act and feel more confident, talk to people more, and set up an online dating profile. I can see myself happy again. I see myself laughing. Step 5. Revisit your brain-draining worries. Transition out of the pose gracefully as you return to your present life. Retain the energetic shifts as you return to the worry that held you back. Now that you've used a physical pose, reflected on the contrary evidence, and seen the right action you'd like to take in your mind's eye, see if the degree of belief has already started to change. Have you found even 1% more hope than you had before? Brain-draining worry 1. How true? Blank percent. Now go back to the other brain-draining worries you wrote down. Repeat steps 2 to 4 for these worries and see if they feel just a little less true now. Brain-draining worry 2. How true? Blank percent. Brain-draining worry 3. How true? Blank percent. Step 6. Turn right action into your reality. For many people, these steps have already reduced how much they believe their worst brain-draining worries. If they haven't changed yet, that's okay. In fact, the most potent part of EBCT is taking the action that you have seen in your mind's eye and applying it in your life. It may not happen overnight, but you will eventually be rewarded when you move through your life with optimism and faith. In the beginning, it may feel like you're feigning confidence that's not really there yet. You may feel like you're acting as if you're someone who believes you'll find love again or that great job. Fake it until you make it can be a great way to eventually help you to feel more authentically confident. Watch and notice how these actions help you slowly change your worries and anxieties. Notice how they begin to balance and replenish your drained brain. When you are recovering from a divorce, it may take years to fully believe that you'll find love again. But when you continue to apply the right action you see in your mind's eye, you'll eventually love. You'll get that job. When you're having a tough time, you'll be reminded that this too will pass. When positive outcomes are realized, your brain-draining worries will become smaller, less believable versions of what they once were. From time to time, return to this chapter and revisit your brain-draining worries and see how the degree of belief has changed. They may even disappear and become forgotten remnants of your healed past. You will have set yourself free from the negative thoughts that were holding you back. EBCT in action. So let's see how this played out for Melanie. The next time her boyfriend didn't text her back right away, she noticed her spiraling toward her crazy train. She noticed her pessimism, her pervasiveness, and her personalization. She saw these familiar patterns pop up, so she posed. As someone who took a yoga class most evenings, Melanie loved using these familiar physical poses. But then she started the next step, finding the contrary evidence to negate the pitfall thought patterns. Instead of focusing on the 45 minutes it took her boyfriend to text back, what would change if she considered the fact that he had been texting her all day long and was taking her to Hawaii for her birthday? This provided evidence that he loved and cared about her. Then, in her mind's eye, Melanie rehearsed the action she wanted to take. Like an Olympic diver who mentally rehearses a complex sequence of twists before jumping off the board, Melanie pictured the behavior she would take in the next moment. She would simply breathe through the fear, which had loosened its grip a bit, and not text back. The final part of the antidote is to take the imagined behavior and turn it into real action, which has the power to create even more positive change. Right thought leads to right action. It is a calmer, more rational, and healthier way to act and live. Right action does not ignore thoughts and feelings, because both are